Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 7, the story of the widow and her dead son who was given life. And in this we hear of great pain, and we also hear of greater comfort. This is the word of our Lord given to us today from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, dearest beloved, no one likes the pain or the loss of life. It's something that my wife and I are going through now, the loss of a dear brother-in-law. We've been playing for Ronald for many years now here at Zion. And the Lord has kept His promise to Ronnie. He promised him that He would come for him one day. And Jesus always keeps His promise. We know that pain and the loss of life, we know that it is always certain. Although it is unwanted, suffering and death, they stalk us. They taunt us. They want to crush us. But today we hear of a crowd. We hear of a crowd that has been crushed by death. It's not unlike the times that you and I will have to go through. It's not unlike the times that we here in Zion have gone through. Dear loved ones here in their coffin. And as soon as the service is done, we leave this place and we go across to Shum Road. It seems like death is leading us. It seems like death has just stalked another member of our beloved family. And it seems like death has won. But death has not won. It only seems like death has won. This morning we hear of a great message. A great message of great pain, that's true. But we also hear a message, a proclamation of great comfort. Comfort that is given to a widow in a small town in Israel. Great comfort that is given to widows here in Shum. Great comfort is given to mothers here in Shum and to fathers here in Shum. Great comfort that is only available, dear ones, only available in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all know that the pain of this world is great. The power of pain in this world is apparent to all of us. It's especially apparent this morning in our text. For here we see a grief-stricken widow. What does Luke tell us? A dead person was being carried out. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. She has lost her only son. Not only that, we don't know when, but she has lost her husband. She, in reality, has lost everything. How can I say that? Well, it's true. In those days, there was no Social Security. There was no support system. There was no safety net. If a woman had lost her husband and had lost her son and had no viable way of support, she is lost. According to Jewish society, she is good as dead. Pain is something that this woman was experiencing. And pain is the offspring of sin. And what is sin? The separation of man from his Creator. The separation of man and woman from his or her God, Yahweh. Why is this? Why are we separated? Why was this widow in Nain separated from her husband? And separated from her son? Well, God tells us in the 3rd chapter of Genesis. God spoke to Adam and said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Pain, the pain of loss, the pain of sin, also produces its own offspring. We know them as doubt, as suffering, as grief, fear, and finally, God forbid, unbelief. Who of us here this morning, in great pain and anguish, have not felt that great fear of doubt? Doubt that God will keep His promise. In suffering, who hasn't been tempted to blame God? In grief and fear, sinful man can easily fall prey to the one who prays around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And how he wishes to devour you is in doubt and suffering and grief and pain, so that you will fall into unbelief and die the second death. The final result of pain, the final result of sin, my dear ones, is hell. An eternal separation from God. The final death, the second death, is separation from the Father forever and ever. For Paul writes to the Corinthians, we know this text so well. For again, when we have a dear loved one here, we hear the text here and also over there. The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. I thank Terry that he gave me a mirror, although it doesn't look like a mirror, but I see myself. And when I look in the mirror of the law, and when you look in the mirror of the law, what do you see? You see a poor, miserable sinner. You see what the law does to us. The law condemns us. The law shows us our sins. The law shows us the sting of death. The law shows us the power of sin. You and I, we know this oh so well. We are very well acquainted with the pain of this world. Each and every one of us are, for none are exempt. Jesus, however, today in our text, and even today, this very moment, introduces us to the greatest comfort, the only relief that you and I have from such eternal pain and death. Your greatest comfort, your only comfort, dear one, is Christ Jesus, your Savior. He comes into this world that is filled with grief and pain. Jesus himself felt this very grief and pain himself. For we all remember that at the death of his dear friend Lazarus, Jesus wept. When Jesus met this death procession, leaving the city of Nain, he saw the great turmoil. He saw the great grief. Jesus saw with his own eyes what death is doing to us human beings. How it separates. How it destroys. How it brings tears to our eyes and longing to our heart. And Jesus looks at this poor widow, knowing that she has no husband, knowing that she has now lost her son, and that she is as good as dead. And Jesus has esplachnizothi. Yes, I know your text if you're looking at the insert, says that his heart goes out to her. But you know the Greek word, that Greek word means that he has great compassion for her. My dear ones, when Jesus looks upon you, when he looks upon this widow in Nain, his whole being is poured out upon her. Not only his heart, but his inwards, his inner guts spill out in great comfort, in great compassion, in great mercy, full of grace. Then Jesus says, words that are so comforting to us, words that I will be speaking to my family on Wednesday. Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus' ministry is a ministry of comfort. It's a ministry of mercy and grace and compassion. Jesus' ministry, dear ones, is a ministry of life. For he is not the Lord of death, but he is the Lord of life. His purpose is to heal and to bring new life. When you are baptized, you are healed and you are given new life. Jesus walked up to the funeral bier. Not a coffin, by the way. A funeral bier, a gurney. And he walked up to it and he touched it. And the bearer stood still in amazement. They would never see a rabbi do this, but this rabbi did it. And then he said some amazing words. Young man, I say to you, arise. And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. My friends, there is compassion. There is mercy. There is your Lord of life. This dramatic account in Nain demonstrates for each and every one of us the uniqueness of our Lord Jesus. He was more than just a prophet of comfort. He meets death and he takes away its power. Each time your Lord of life meets death, death is defeated each and every time. For death has no power over our Lord Jesus. For when he died here, he didn't remain dead, for on the third day he arose. And just like this young man was given life, you and I were given life. And even one day, yes, one day, each and every one of us, from the oldest person here to the very youngest, we will one day be across the road. Or we will be one day in a cemetery nearby. But then that one great day, we will hear our Lord of life, and he will say to you, he will say to you personally, arise, and you will. For his word is true, and his word is a word of power, and his word is a word of authority. Death has no hold on you. Death has no hold on my dear brother-in-law. Death has no hold on your dear departed ones. They are only asleep across Hume Road or wherever they may be. Jesus tells us they are only asleep. This great comfort of our Lord and Savior is greater than the pain of this world. We are filled with awe and we praise God for what Christ has done for us, what he has done for each and every one of you here at the cross. We know what sin does to us, but Jesus has taken that sin and he nailed it to a cross. And as he was nailed to the cross and lifted up high, he proclaimed to his Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today he says, Father, forgive them. Father, today I give to them my body for the forgiveness of their sins. Father, today I give them my very blood that washes away their sin. For I am the very Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. That's what Jesus has done for you. He has come to save you. And in His salvation, there is power, and there is truth, and there is life. Dear ones, today you will come to His altar, and you will stand here before your Lord, and He will proclaim to you great words of authority and great words of strength, and you will see. You will see with your own eyes, Esplak Nisothi. You will see His great compassion for you. For you will take into your body His body, and you will drink into your body His blood. He has done this because He is your great comforter. He does this because He is your great Lord of life. He does this because of His love, His intense love for each and every one of you. So therefore, come. Come to His table. Eat and drink for the forgiveness of your sins. Eat and drink for the strengthening of your faith. Eat and drink until life and salvation. For your Lord is here, and He is proclaiming to you a greater comfort. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.